Today, we will still be in Exodus. How about that? And believe it or not, we will still be dealing with the fallout from that calf. Still fallout. We're not done. We learned how to handle when we mess up. Today, we want to deal more with why we mess up in the first place. We're going to try to deal with the truth about why we mess up in the first place. Why? Not just because we want to do a retrospective, but because we want to know how not to do the same thing. You want to avoid some mess ups in your life? You want to stop blowing it? Then pay attention today. All right. Now, I want you, I see a pen. I see at least one pen coming out. That's good. Because I want you to write down where you blew it. I want you to write down the situation, the circumstances, and what you did. I'll give you some time. I'll drink a little water. Write it down. This is for you. I'm not going to ask you to pass it up here to me. What did you do when you just blew it? Big time. This is for you. What was it that I did when I just flat out blew it? So after you write down what you did when you blew it, I want you to write down why you did it. This is what I did when I blew it big time. And this is also why I did the really, 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 really dumb thing that I did. Amen. What did we do? And then hopefully you can get in touch with the real reason why you did it. Now, in life and certainly in counseling, this comes up a lot. The most common answer to the question as to why someone does or have did what they should not have done to get them into the situation that they did not want to be in, the most common answer is this. Three words. I don't know. I have no idea why I did what I did to end up in the mess that I didn't want to be in. I don't know. That's what people say. It is almost never true. Why do you think it is that in our toughest situations, and even when we're trying to get help, supposedly, that the first thing that comes out of our mouth is a lie? I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I took that loan that I know I could not pay. I don't. Now, the truth is, you just wanted to floss. You wanted to go along with the crowd. You had peer pressure. You wanted to look good like everybody else. You thought you were going to get left behind. You believed the hype on the news. You know why you did it. Because your friends were doing it and your family was doing it. Come on. I don't know. Why'd you sleep with that person you shouldn't have been sleeping with? Why'd you leave the job that you never should have left? Whatever it is, I don't know. That's not true. What is the shortest distance between where you are and where you need to be? Oh. And yet, the most common answer to the question, why did you do the dumb thing that you did? I don't know. Or as Scooby-Doo would say, I don't know why. Well, today we want the truth to make us free. Amen. Amen. As I told you, our text will be in the book of Exodus. Matter of fact, you don't have to go far from where you were last week. We'll be in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and verses 1 through 6, and also verses 19 through 24. And our signature or key verse would be verse 21. So verses 1 through 6, and also 19 through 24, and the signature or key verse will be verse 21. Now the setting is the same as last week. Moses is coming on down the mountain because God has told him, "Ooh, you better get on down there with your people, because let me tell you, they're cutting up. You better get on down there because they have corrupted themselves by making and worshiping a calf, golden calf to be specific." But guess what? We are not going to start at verse 1, believe it or not. We're going to move on over there to verse 19. That's where you can find it if you can, as quickly as you can. We're going to start at verse 19. And it reads, "And it came to pass, as soon as he," that is Moses, "came nigh," or that is near, "unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot." Woo, he was what we call hot. And we know this from last week. "He cast the tables," which had the Ten Commandments, "out of his hands in anger." "And he broke them beneath the mountain." We know he was really angry. Amen. Amen. Woo, he was some kind of angry, but he did not stop there. You're going to see how angry he really was. Now, he's seen them, all this dancing and this calf, and he throws those tables down. But read verse 20 for me.
"And he took the calf which they had made," mm-hmm, "and burned it in the fire."
Yes.
"And ground it to powder," mm, "and strawed it upon the water,"
mm-hmm,
"and made the children of Israel drink."
You know he, ooh, yeah, he mad, ain't he? You ever been mad like that? You ever do something kind of crazy similar to that when you're mad at your kids because they did something really stupid? "He ground it up." All right, you want a calf? I got your calf. "He melted it down and grounded it to powder and mixed it in with water, and that's fine. You want a calf? You're going to drink that calf." He was angry. But then, after he has demonstrated his anger and tried to make his point with the people, he turns his attention to Aaron. Aaron is you. Aaron is me. He turns his attention to his brother and his trusted assistant. His trusted assistant. And let's take a look at verse 21. "And Moses said unto Aaron," read the rest for me.
"What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin?"
Yeah, yeah, I told you that was our signature verse, right? Simple. Read right on past it if you want to. "But Moses said to Aaron," and God is saying to you, "What in the world did these people do to you that you would bring such great sin upon them?" What in the world was going on in your life? What in the world made you think it was worth it? What in the world got you to do the really, really, really stupid thing that you decided consciously to do? What? I mean, come on, just what? What did they do to you? It sounds like a rhetorical question. And sometimes we interpret it because we don't really pay attention, as if he said it rhetorically. But you'll understand as we continue to read, it was not a rhetorical question. What in the world did these people do to you that got you to go that route? What did they do? What is it that was going on in your life that could get you to do that really stupid thing? What is it? What did he do that attracted you so much? What did she do that attracted you so much? What did you think you were getting out of it? What happened to you? What did someone say to you? What did someone do to you? What was it that was in you in the first place? Huh? That people couldn't see, that they only saw as a result of your actions, because you were talking good. What was it? That is the question. What did the people do that got you to make this mess? Are you asking yourself that question? You should. Huh. What in your life caused or allowed you to go directly against the thing that you knew was right? What caused or allowed you to do the very thing that you knew you should not do? Obviously, you rationalized. Obviously, you convinced yourself. But what was the driving force? The real reason why you did it? Wouldn't you like to know? I hope you already know. But if you don't already know, if you get real today, you might break some chains. Hallelujah. The next few verses, we get to see Aaron's response to the question, what in the world did those people do that got you to do that stupid thing? That didn't just hurt you, but it hurt them even more. Because the really stupid things that we do don't just affect us. They affect other people, and it don't just affect people today. They linger on. So what in the world could get you to do? What could somebody say? What could they do to get you to do something that's going to mess up your life and all the people around you for however long it lasts? What in the world? What? What would make you do this? So we get to see Aaron's question. We get to hide ours privately on our little piece of paper so nobody else knows, because you know we want to look good. We don't want people to know that we got some mess. Oh, but we get to see Aaron's because it's in writing for all to see. So let's see what Aaron's question, what Aaron's answer or his response was. Verse 22, read it for me.
And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on Israel.
Woo! I could stay here all day unpacking this thing. You did read it, right? So you know, now let's pay attention now. The term my Lord, he ain't getting spiritual right here or religious. He's not talking about God. He's talking about his leader. You are going to understand why he got all reverential with the brother at this point. Let not my Lord's anger wax hot against me. Moses, please don't be mad at me. Woo, I wish I could. Moses, not God now. Moses, please don't be mad at me. Because you know those people. We all got that. Hey, so what's the problem? How can we do those people? Somebody else. Somebody else. It's their fault. It ain't never your fault. You know those people are always up to mischief. Don't be mad at me. I'm willing to throw them completely and utterly under the bus. I want to look good. I'm willing to let whoever is not around look bad. Now, they ain't there to tell their version of the story. Uh-huh. So, don't be mad at me, self-preservation. You know those people. You know how they are. You know how they are. I'm not one of them now. Now, I came with them, but I'm those people. You know, me and you, Moses, we got our stuff together. You know what I'm saying? You know those people. It was just one of me. I was outnumbered, man. Don't be mad at me. There's a crowd. There's a mob. Oh, Lord Jesus. He blames the people. Does that sound familiar? Those people. Mm-hmm. Well, what made you do it? I don't know why I do these things. I don't. Can you help me? Because you help me. Because I just don't. Why do I do these things, Pastor? Why do I do these things, Counselor? Why? I just don't understand it. I just don't know. And when we do get down, yeah, I figured it out. It's those people. It's them. He goes on in verse 23. He ain't done yet. Those people, you know they set, you know they determined to get into mischief. It was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses' character, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Do you understand what they're saying here? Make us some gods that'll go before us. Because you know what? We have no idea when this Moses guy is coming back. And frankly, we don't know if he's coming back. They are at this point, listen to me, addressing Aaron as the de facto leader. Moses is gone. And he's been gone for so long, he might not ever come back. Aaron! No longer just a spokesperson. Hey, dude, you are the leader now. Did you know that? Oh. And they would not create a god like this. They wouldn't create this thing on their own. They needed the leader to commission it, to sanction it, to sponsor it. And so they asked Aaron to do that. Because the actual leader was away and might not return. So the scripture doesn't tell us everything, but we know that he obviously, because of his actions, he agreed with their perspective. He agreed with their assessment. He agreed with or shared their outlook. The dude probably ain't coming back. So what would I do? If he wasn't around, what would I do if his influence wasn't hovering over me? What would I do if I was just really being me? What would I do? So he obviously agreed. And it likely stroked his ego. The stuff that we do, the stupid stuff that we do, oftentimes it's because, well, we're going to look good once we do that thing. We're going to feel good. Somebody made you feel more like a man than the right one did. Stroke that ego now. Or a man can make a woman feel, woo, you know, you just make me feel, ooh, I ain't felt that way in so long. When he says stuff, come on, this is so, woo, come on now, you know it's every day, he takes me for granted, but you notice. And it happens gradually, and a woman is made differently from a man. She starts, she reacts differently when she starts, to everything. She reacts differently. And all the drip, 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 come on, this is so true. Come on now. You should have to pay the admission to hear this kind of truth. This is why you do what you shouldn't be doing. And let's not forget that he was one of them. He tried to act like he wasn't one of them, but he was born in Egypt. He had an Egyptian thinking and Egyptian tendencies. You can take them out of Egypt, but there's still some Egypt in them. All right, now. We preached a message a few years ago about that. The Egypt inside you. I don't know if all of you guys were here back then. But what is the lesson here? The actual lesson here, as we really look carefully at Aaron's situation, this new leader now, is that if you don't kill or lock away securely and throw away the key to the old you that is contrary to God, it will come out. It will come forth. It will take over your life at the first opportunity. So you can be in denial all you want. You can tell a lie to yourself and people all you want. It's going to find an opportunity and you're going to be laying flat, face first, in a mud pit. Those people, I don't know. If you don't kill that thing, if you don't lock it away and throw the key away, it's going to come back and rear its head. And we'll waste our time talking about other people, and I don't know. But we're trying to break some chains, right? Amen. Shortest distance from here to there is what? The truth. When I think about that throwing away the key thing and that ugliness coming back and rearing its head and messing up your life, but I have no idea. I think about the Twilight Zone episode. Chasing that devil and trying to find that devil. You finally get that devil and you lock him up. You good. Matter of fact, just leave right then. Run away from it. No, what we do? Listen to him. And eventually, we get convinced to do the one thing that we shouldn't do. The one thing. Unlock that cage. Unlock that cell. And let the devil out. And then what happens? The devil in you gets you to do stupid stuff because you didn't kill him or lock him away and throw away the key. You put the key under the mat so you would know where to find it. Come on now. We know it's true. And we know when we finally do the deed, we know there was a drip, 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 fat rationalization, okay. And the deal is finally done. And with all of that insight, I don't know. I have no idea why I did that. As if the thing just fell on top of your head. Right? Let's look at verse 24. And I said, what had happened was, I said unto them, this is, you know, those people that asked me, hey, you know, we need to build some gods so they can go before us. Because that dude, we have no idea. That dude that brought us out, we don't know when he's coming. He probably is not coming back. And here's what I said. I said to them, okay, whoever has any gold, let them break it off, the earrings, nose rings, all that sort of stuff. And so they gave them to me. And then I cast them into the fire. And then what does it say? Oh, there we go. I don't know how it happened. I told him, okay, you got to have this God. I took this stuff and all the gold and I threw it to the fire and poof. I don't know how it happened. Come on, you know you've explained it to somebody that way. Oh, I was having some trouble. I was just a little depressed. Life was a little bit different. I woke up and I had 20,000. That might sound a little too real. And I had a lot of debt I woke up and I was in the wrong bed. I ended up on this job and I should have been on that job. Or whatever the thing is, right? How did that happen? Yeah, I just woke up one day and there I was. I just took some gold. Now, it can't be my fault. You know these people are mischievous anyway, right? I took some gold and I threw it in the fire and poof, there's a calf, man. I'm just telling you how it happened. First of all, it wasn't my fault. These people are, you know, they get into mischief. I'm outnumbered. All I did was say, okay, fine. We'll see what happens. I take all this gold, throw it in the fire, and it just came. There it is. This is Aaron's actual story. I'm not making this up. You're reading it with me. We're paying attention. I casted it into the fire, and there came out this calf. I couldn't believe it. I said, I got to go to the Hebrew. There's no way he said this. I went to the Hebrew, and you know what it says? I threw the gold into the fire, and up came this calf. I mean, that's really what he said. That's what he said. Now, you Moses, right? And okay, what in the world? What happened? Well, you know the people. And I just took, and poof. How would you react? Okay, I'm listening. And look, I've made a career out of just listening to people lie to me. If I ask you a question and you're talking, I'm hearing what you're not saying. I'm hearing everything you're not saying. I'm like, okay. I can hear from what you are. You're telling me your version of the story. I can hear the truth. But I'm not going to waste my time even trying to tell you the truth, because you know what? You ain't about to hear it. You ain't about to hear the truth. So I'm just going to let some more time go by, because you're not ready for it. Amen? Amen? So we got this calf that miraculously emerged. Wouldn't that be something? If you can just throw some gold in there and poof, there you go. Right? And why would it become a calf, of all things, just miraculously? Why would it become this thing that you know they like to worship over there in Egypt? Yeah, it just happened to work out like that. Wouldn't it be nice if you can just have stuff, poof, work out just the way you imagine it might be? Isn't this something? So in his life, the devil is officially out of the cage for him. And we see, when we look at this last part of verse 24, poof, this calf, this man is in denial. Psychologically, maybe so far we can call it dissociation. I didn't say disassociation. We call it psychologically dissociation. Well, you ain't even connected. It wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't connect with it. I really mean it. I don't know, because I did not. I was in such deep denial. Or even further, dissociation. You can say it. You can say it was me. You can show me a video, and I just wouldn't believe it. I'm just so disconnected from that. Don't know what you're talking about. Really, now. A flawed character makes denial, deflection, and dissociation the tools of your trade in your life. A flawed character will have you rolling with that stuff in your pocket. Stuff happens, whoop, let me whip out denial. They can't prove it. Let me deflect. You know those people. Or just, I don't even know what you're talking about. Really? Some people are so sociopathic, they can pass a polygraph because they convince themselves, they believe their own lies. That shouldn't be us, right? Has it been us? Come on now. Has it been us? Oh, okay. I got to get real with this thing. Have you ever done something stupid and somebody asked you why you did it and you claim you didn't know? Or you told the wrong story. You told the story that made you look the best. Stop it now. Oh, we ain't been there. You tell the story. Okay, we got to finish. You're going to see it when we finish. Because we still like, well, I don't know, maybe, probably. This changed, man. Well, maybe, could be, probably, maybe. Come on, man. You haven't told the story in the way that made you look the best. You haven't told the story and intentionally left stuff out. We can make progress if we just say yes faster. We can make progress if we just admit, because if we can't admit it, and I've been up here for almost half an hour, if we still can't admit it, you still stuck. You can't admit it, you still got them chains on. If you can't admit it, you still haven't understood the shortest distance from where you are to where you need to be is the truth. If you still can't admit it, come on now. Well, this is how, let's finish. Okay, maybe the Bible will convince you. Okay, let's go back to verse 1. We started at 19. We couldn't start at the beginning. If I'm an attorney and I'm trying to convict somebody, I'm going to start at this point. I'm going to ask the questions of the witness to get the witness to lie. Then I'm going to show the evidence to prove that he lied. Because if I let him know where I'm headed, his attorneys will get him to tell the best lies that I cannot prove. I'm going to get you to lie first. I'm going to ask you the question and let you show your character. Then we can go back and make you face the truth. But if I tell you where I'm going, you might be just that good at lying to yourself and lying to others, and I leave you with the chains. Hallelujah. So we're going back to verse 1. Go ahead and read verse 1 for me. As a matter of fact, let's just read verse 1 through 3. And when the people saw
that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
the people gathered themselves together unto mm-hmm. Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods,
mm-hmm.
who shall go before us.
Yes.
For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we will not know what it will become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron.
Okay, so in verse 29 through 19 through 24, we heard Aaron's firsthand account. This is a narrative. Okay? Speaking in the third person about what happened. And so far in these three verses, it all is true. Word for word. No problem. But most lies and deceptions are, you know, they are based off of a foundation of truth. But then the rest of the building is built off of our weaknesses and lusts rather than God's strength and truth. So it looks kind of, you know, looks like truth. But it's lies and deception. And we don't just lie and deceive, lie to and deceive other people. We first usually start out lying to and deceiving ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
So far, word for word almost, huh? Quote, unquote, all true. Verse 4.
And he received them
at their hand.
After he had eaten a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
Okay. Poof, it just happened. That calf just, poof, I just threw some gold. This is the way we tell, listen, people, this is how we tell the story. You've lived it. This is how you end up in mess. You either tell that story to somebody else or to yourself, and you get in the mess, and when you come out of the mess, and they say, how'd you get into the mess? This is the we tell the other version of the story. When the truth is, if they really knew, if they had your apartment bugged, they could see all the little things that you were doing that led up to it. You created that problem, and you blame it on everything and everybody else. You don't want to get into that mess again and blow it. Just don't do that. Doctor, my head hurts. Don't bang your head against the wall. Don't stop lying to yourself. Accept the pain and the difficulty of facing the truth more often. Because that's how you slip, slide away into your mess, because you don't want the truth. And you won't hang out with nobody who will tell you the truth. You avoid the people who will tell you the truth. You rebuke the people who will tell you the truth. You marginalize the people who will tell you the truth. is a good word. This is not even scolding. This is like, please, 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 please take this gold from me, this platinum from me, these diamonds from me, this treasure from me. Please, because we'll all be so much better off. Right? So clearly from this verse 4, we see he wasn't some, it didn't just happen. It says he fashioned it. And he didn't just fashion it. He used tools that were designed to fashion it. You didn't end up in debt. You made it happen. You didn't end up without that job. You made it happen step by step. You perfected it. You did everything that needed to be done to make it happen. As a matter of fact, if you weren't so good at it, it couldn't have said poof. But you were so good at it that it was so clearly recognizable to all. He couldn't say, well, it kind of looks like an elephant or a deer or a giraffe. No, 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 no. The whole, that's a calf. I only see one calf in my life, but I know that's a calf because it's so perfectly a calf. You did everything necessary for that thing to happen. Yeah, that thing, that problem, that mess. You executed. I asked you to do something. Well, I forgot. I was late. I was busy. This happened. No, no, no. You didn't show up late for one assignment on that thing. You executed it. I'm sleepy. I couldn't do it. You up at 2 in the morning executing that thing. Because people always do what they really want to do. You don't accidentally end up in that mess. You actually carefully fashion that mess. You got tools for fashioning that mess. Telephone, being in the wrong place with your car that you ain't supposed to be, credit cards, that loan that you got that you couldn't that you didn't deserve, that you couldn't afford, you filled out a whole application for that thing. Woo, Lord Jesus. It didn't just happen. So he wants to focus on the people. But now when you hear the real story, all of a sudden you deconstruct it. Oh, my God, my fingerprints are everywhere. My DNA is everywhere. Oh, my God. So what is it that we've done? But convince ourselves that, well, it was everybody else. What is it that we've done that's devastated our lives, that's ruined our lives, that's affected our lives and the people around us, that we've been living, or we at least were living in our version of the events that allowed us to feel better about ourselves and yet not make progress, not real progress, because we were too intent on feeling better about ourselves. So we can't make no progress because we're really all right and we had our reasons. It's okay. All to avoid the responsibility for our actions. Look, I did it. This is why I did it. It wasn't in my best self. I was weak. I was being phony. I wanted to look good. My job, I say this all the time. When we get into problems and the regulators do this or that and we get into trouble, I said, look, we created that mess because we were more intent on looking good than being good. That's how we ended up in this mess. We mentioned this. We knew about this 2-3 years ago. We didn't want to deal with the politics. We didn't want to deal with the change management. We didn't want to deal with the truth that it was going to look. Oh, my God, that's so ugly. We know it's ugly. Guess what? There's people who prepay for what they get, and they deserve for you to know the truth and to act on the truth. How dare you worry more about looking good than being the good that somebody's paying you to be? How dare you? This is my pastoral ministry at work now. I'm talking about I have to somehow hold back the passion because it's painful for folk. They can't handle that kind of truth. But it's still who I am. It's what I give. It's how we got to roll. We try to avoid the responsibility for our actions and our decisions. Or to avoid the pain of the truth. But can you believe there's more? It's like, Pastor, enough. I came to church. I didn't come for a counseling session. Well, guess what? I'm giving you the Bible. If it turns out to be a counseling session, then so be it. Whoo, then leave liberated by the truth. If your defense mechanisms are too good, then you tuned me out a while ago. Once I start knocking on that truth door. So there's more. Read 5 and 6 for me.
And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Mm-hmm. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
Yeah, so Moses came down and he saw the playing. Hey, Aaron, what in the world? What'd you do? Well, you know, they said this, and you know those people. And I threw the goat, and there it was, a calf. Okay, if it was just there it was, a calf, if that's all it was, oh, my God, a calf. That's not what I was trying to do. That's not what I was looking for. I wasn't trying to end no calf. Well, first of all, we know you fashioned it. Second of all, we know you were looking for a calf to be a god. How do we know? You built an altar, silly. You built an altar to the thing. How you gonna say you didn't really mean for it to be a calf? Okay, fine. I meant for it to be a calf, but I didn't mean for it to be worship. Okay, so then why'd you build an altar? So I'm listening to somebody talk. Hey, so what happened? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm seeing crafting, fashioning. I'm hearing altar building. And they think they're just telling me the best lie. They really think I'm buying it, hook, line, and sinker. You know why? Because I don't see any. I could ask all the right questions and penetrate right to that thing. I could. I have to hold back. I have to try not to ask those questions because they just come so naturally. Got to get to the heart of the matter. But do you know that somebody will skip along and hold your hand and lie to you for days, months, or years to avoid the pain of the truth? Of facing the responsibility of their actions. Am I preaching? Am I telling the truth? Amen. Have you lived it? Amen. Have you been that one? It's more important for me to look good than to be good. Oh, but if you ask them, does image or substance matter more to you? Of course, substance. But I'll tell a lie as long as I have to so I can look good, even though in the end I'm going to trip and fall and folks are going to fall with me. Those people who are holding on to me, they're part of my life, guess what? They fall too. They get splattered with the mud too. Man, this is... So he built an altar. Now, did he mention that? Well, what happened, man? Oh, no, he didn't mention the tools. He didn't mention that there it was, a calf. Okay, fine, so what did the calf mean to you? Okay, now you got this calf problem. You're like, whoa, that's not what I was looking for. No, you, Aaron. That means he either built it or he directed it to be built or he assisted in the building. It says that when Aaron saw it, meaning when he visualized that thing, what did he do? He, Aaron, you, me, we made the problem even worse. He built an altar before it, making it the most important thing. Once we get into that mess, hiding the mess, going deeper into the mess, giving yourself up to the mess, as long as you don't have to deal with the responsibility, it becomes the driving force in your life. So he built an altar before it. And he made a proclamation. Now he ain't, come on now. He didn't tell all this. And he said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. What Lord? Well, you know, the one I just spent time fashioning. And I'm going to actually get you to sacrifice to this God. Isn't that something? So what really happened here? What did the people do to get this man to go completely against everything he knew to be right? What did the people do to get him to go and to do these things that he knew to be wrong? Every step now, hey, give me the gold. Okay, I'm going to put it. Well, you could have just put the gold away. But no, see, if I put the gold in the fire, that makes the gold in a liquid form and therefore malleable, and I can work my magic. Not the thing all by itself, but I make it so. What is it that the people did? All the people did is that they gave him a reason. That's all we ever need. It don't have to be a legitimate reason. It just needs a reason. All we need is a little mustard seed of the truth for us to finish up the lie, for us to do what our flesh wants to do for whatever the reason our flesh wants to do it. They didn't do anything but give him an excuse. That's all they did. Hey, ooh, I can use that one. So let me go ahead and do my thing because I'm armed. I got my, somebody come up, I got my excuse. I got my reason. It's going to sound good, it's going to sound legit, and it will not hold up to a good, effective cross-examination. It will not. But we live good chunks of our lives on the lie that we just assume nobody will ever prove. So they'll just see the veneer of who you are. And we just cruise along, but we're not really being all that we can be. Whew. You can pay your copay on the way out. They didn't do anything but give him a ready-made justification to match and buddy up with the rationalization for what you knew he was going to do. You just didn't know it by the way he purported and the way he came and answered the question to Moses. When you really look back on it, you're like, he was going to do that. All you had to do was remove Moses. This is what Satan knew. He knew what was going to happen after that. Because he knew that that timber and that all that stuff was dry. All it needed was a little match. That's all it needed. All they did was convince Aaron to unlock the door of the cell of his sinful past, of his Egypt. That's all he needed. All he needed was a little minor suggestion. Oh, man, I made the wrong turn. I just was going down the street where I shouldn't be. You know. Uh-huh. Somebody called me that I hadn't talked to in a long time, and I just happened to ask, so how is he doing? Or how is she doing? I'm just being thoughtful. I'm just being caring. I'm just being a good little citizen neighbor. Hey, how's he doing? How is she doing? What I really mean is he attached? Is he happy? So I can just happen to be at an event where he happens to be at. This is how these things happen. We know this, right? So all he did was just convince him to unlock the door with the devil in it. It was also probably pretty cool to his ego, right? So if we can be more honest about our own stuff, right? Our own true motivations, our own true weaknesses that we put the key under the door, under the mat. If we could be more honest in the first place, then we can spend less time unfairly pointing at those people. Unfairly exaggerating and embellishing on, not that they had no impact on your life, but embellishing on and exaggerating the impact that they have on our behavior. Our bad behavior, our bad decisions. We can stop with the deflections onto other people and situations, because all it is giving you fodder for your rationalization. So your sin can do what it always wanted to do. All it needed was for the key to turn that way. That's all those people did. Now, can you just imagine if Aaron answered the question that way? Well, see what happened, Moses. Here's the deal, man. when I'm with you, man, we's doing all the right stuff. We're saying all the right things. We are all about it. But when you went, man, and they asked me, you know how it was in Egypt. We ain't been out of there that long. And I just, and I can't see God. And when he speaks, it's too scary. This was comfortable. This is what we knew. And we thought you weren't coming back, man. That's a tough situation to be in. And I gave in. So I didn't just take the gold and put it in the fire. I actually fashioned it, man. I did what we knew how to do. I knew what our flesh was trained to do. And then I built an altar because you know we got to have a God in our lives. And this is what we knew. You and that other God, hey, that might be the real God, but we couldn't see him and you were gone. So we did what we do. And that's what really happened. So don't be mad at me, man. I'm sorry. I blew it. I blew it. I blew it. I deserve whatever I get. All I ask is that I be preserved so that I can come back and be better. I'll accept the pain of the truth. I just want to be arisen from that situation just enough to prove how sorry I am. If it's possible for me to get back to that place where I first received my God. If we can do all that, we'll be better faster. We'll be what God asked us to be, and God will get the glory.